हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 12. Okay. Similarly, Lord Nrisimhadeva tells Prahlad in the Vishnu Purana, 1.20.17. Prahlad, because you have been offering me devotional service without deviation, I am very much pleased with you. Please choose any benediction you would like from me. Prahlad refuses, citing the following justification. O my Lord, O Supreme Instructor of the entire world, you are so kind to your devotee that you could not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. Right? 7.10.4. And so one has to be very careful is that one performs one's service, one's not expecting something from it in the way of return of material benefit or liberation. Right? One may have that in the beginning, but that's called mixed devotional service. Right? The pure devotional service means it's about the relationship. Right? In other words, what we're trying to get to is that it's about interacting with the Lord based on affection. It's not about something else. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? It's just like if we said, okay, does the mother interact with the child because of material profit she'll gain? Right? Or that she'll get liberation? Right? You understand? So it's about the affection. So that's all that we're talking about in the scriptures, is that it's not about getting all these things, it's about just having that nice relationship with the Lord. And if it's just about that, that means then you can have that relationship anywhere. Right? So whether you're in the material world, whether in the spiritual world, whether it's nice facility or not, it doesn't matter. Right? You have a good friend or someone close to you, then it doesn't matter where you are, the friendship still goes on. Right? You're sitting in some fancy hotel, you know, in the lobby there, you're still friends. You're sitting on the Tufan train going to Vrindavan, and you happen to be in Bihar where there's 5 million people getting on and telling you it's their train because they travel it every day and you're the odd man out. So you're still friends. It doesn't matter. You have nice stuff to eat, you don't. Right? Whatever is the situation, it all works out. That's the point. So that's what Prahlad Maharaj is saying, is that those who are looking for some material benefit, then there's a problem there. There's a problem. Because then it's not about the relationship. Then it's like a merchant that you're doing business. You're doing service, just like you have two businessmen. They sit there, they're at their power lunch, they got their crocodile grins on, they're all ready there to render service and do the best they can. You know, I say, making the order, or taking the tab, or opening the door, or arranging this and that, but what's the purpose? Making profit, that's all. Nothing else. If there was no profit, they wouldn't even look at the guy. Right? Yes?
Well, not us. We are here still, and we do have those mixed.
Yes, but we have to appreciate that this is why it's saying this. It's not about, oh, I have to be renounced, I have to be detached. you know, it's about, you know, purification, it's about these things. No, it's about relationship with the Lord. But because we may not relate to that, then therefore the things of the, you know, the element will focus on the mechanics of the sadhana or the austerity of this sadhana. You know, does that make sense? So, you know, the difficulties come in because if it's difficult, it means I'm getting more benefit. You know, it's like Chinese medicine. The worse it tastes, the more material benefit you're getting, right? The more healthy. Right? Isn't it? Right? Have you ever heard of a good-tasting Chinese medicine? It doesn't happen. If it tastes good, there's something wrong with it. Right? This is for kids, right? Have you ever had a good-tasting
medicine? Mixture.
Huh?
Buckley's mixture. Buckley's mixture, the cough syrup.
Oh.
That's part of their, on the label, it says it tastes bad. Same bad taste.
Same bad taste. Because people just think, if it doesn't hurt, if it doesn't taste bad, it's not good. So then there's that idea, is that, okay, material life means everything pleasant, nice, comfortable, so spiritual life must be rough, tough, and, you know, nasty. Right? And then okay, now I'm getting the benefit. But actually, it's just about relationship with the Lord. And so that if it's about the relationship, then the internal potency will arrange all nice things. But it's not about the nice things. You know what I'm saying? It's just those nice things are something to talk about. And it's not because you're in the hotel plaza that's why you're friends with the person. No, while you're there, you'll talk about that. Oh, look at the fountain, you know, this and that. So you'll talk about that. But it doesn't affect the relationship. That's the whole thing that Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out. So for us, we start with that we're used to religion means it gets material benefit. That we should be aware that that's not actually what it's for. Right? We perform our prescribed duties. What comes because of that, that's what we work, that's what we live with. Right, so we perform our prescribed duties to our best ability, then we're going to get the results to the best that we deserve. That's all. Because you can't do better than that. That's all. Okay. Prahlad has already expressed his surrender to the Lord's grace in a previous chapter of the 7th canto. Nothing is unobtainable for devotees who have satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, the original source of everything. The Lord is the reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities. For devotees, therefore, who are transcendental to the modes of material nature, what is the use of following the principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, which are all automatically obtainable under the influence of the modes of nature? We devotees always glorify the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore we need not ask for anything in terms of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.6.25 means, so that's what we're saying, is that if we're still worried about the material facilities, fine, then just perform your prescribed duties. And all the things that you require from dharma, artha, kama, moksha, that you're due to get, you'll get. But the actual point is that it's all just one is doing everything for Krishna. That's why even the following of prescribed duties is just being done because it's Krishna's creation, so it pleases him. We play our part. Right? You know, it's just like if we're in a play that our friend is directing, right? What do? We just play our part, and everything works out. But the reason we're doing it is to please the friend. Right? We're not doing it because, you know, the audience, what do you call it, the roar, the grease paint, the smell of the crowd. That's not why we're doing it. Right? Yeah, it means we're doing it not for the name and fame and this and that or the rush. Right? We're just doing it because it pleases the friend. Does that work? Okay. The Narayana Vyuha Stava in the Haya Shirsha Pancharatra further says, O Lord, bestow a benedictions. I do not pray for dharma, kama, artha, or moksha. I desire only service at your lotus feet. I offer my respects to Prahlad, who asked only for devotion. He did not pray to Vishnu for liberation, though Vishnu wanted to give many benedictions. Right? Because the Lord's pleased, and because it's a relationship, he wants to give facility, but it's not about facility. So it's not that by him not asking for it that he may not get it. The point is you get it, and then if you forget, like if you get facility or get liberation, and then you forget the Lord, what's the point? So relationship is there. He just wants that relationship to continue. And that relationship is what will make us happy. Because the relationships here are temporary. They only last for a certain amount of time. Right? But the relationships there, those are eternal. All your friends there, you'll be with them eternally. So you don't have to worry that, you know, the show will get canceled and then, you know, they'll fill it with some other program. Okay. After Prahlad's refusal, Lord Narsingadev insisted, "Yes, of course, my dear child. Nothing is dear to you but the opportunity to see me. And so I feel more and more affection for you. But still I would like to do some favor for you, even though you are already successful in all respects. I want to give you something, so kindly choose some benediction just to please me." Right? So now he's saying, okay, since you want to, then choose something to please me. Right? Because in other words, he's already got this other. That's understood, is that yes, he's pleased and I feel more and more affection for you. So the Lord is pleased with him, so that relationship will be there. But out of the relationship, just like you like to give something to your friend or they like to give to you, then he wants to give something. So he's saying, therefore, just to please me, you accept something. Prahlad finally relents. He agrees to accept whatever the Lord offers. The Lord offers him. Okay. And pleads for a boon on others' behalf. Here is their exchange in Bhagavatam. "My dear Prahlad, a devotee like you never desires any kind of material opulence, neither in this life or in the next. Nonetheless, I order you to enjoy the opulences of the demons in the material world, acting as their king until the end of the duration of time occupied by Manu." Right? So here he's going to be staying for that whole Manvantara. So it's not a bad time. Right? "It does not matter that you are in the material world. You should always continuously hear the instructions and messages given by me and always be absorbed in thought of me, for I am the Supersoul existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruit of activities and worship me. My dear Prahlad, while you are in this material world, you will exhaust all the reactions of pious activities by feeling happiness. And by acting piously, you will neutralize impious activity. Because of the powerful time factor, you will give up your body, but the glories of your activities will be sung in the upper planetary systems. And being fully freed from all bondage, you will return home back to Godhead. One who always remembers your activities and my activities also, and who chants the prayers you have offered, becomes free in due course of time from the reactions and material activities." Right? So, he's acting piously, so therefore he's going to get rid of all impiety. And by being happy in the performance of his duties, right, from the results that come, that burns up the pious activities. So this way there'll be no pious or impious. So then when he leaves the body, then he'll go back to Godhead. Yeah, because we're saying, I want to be happy, but your happiness burns up all your good karma, so you can't be happy anymore.
Conserve some of our happiness.
But then you look at it, so the material nature is very kind. It only gives happiness now and again, so your quarter lasts longer, you know. You know, it's like, you know, how you say it? You know, Charlie and his chocolate bar, right? Yeah.
Maybe that's what you're talking
about. Well, that's another point. We don't want to get into that, you know. But the point is that for the Lord, facilities and that isn't a problem for him. The problem is forgetting is the relationship, because it's a relationship why you should forget. Right? So it's about not forgetting about the person. That's the whole point. You know, so if they're strong in that, then they can have facility. But it's not about having facility. Because you see, some devotees, they have facility. Some also do the thing of not having facility. So it's like a... It's not really known. I don't know if it comes out that the very hairy sage is a devotee. Yeah, you don't really know about that. I'm not sure. That Lomasha is very famous. He's in the Taittiriya Upanishad.
He didn't went back to Ghana. He didn't go back to Ghana because as a preacher it was better to stay and things like
that. No, that's there. The point is you have to remember he came from there. Right? As discussed before, he's a Nityasiddha. But because he goes through some births to get to the platform of manifesting the quality of devotee, right? Then you talk about, you know, him as a sadhana siddha. Though technically he's a nitya siddha. He's just come to perform, show example of how, by the performance of sadhana, you can come to the perfect platform. So, therefore, for them, they're always living in Vaikuntha, and it's not a matter of if they go back to Godhead now or not. So if someone like that stays around for one manvantar, then it's basically good for everybody. It works. People do figure out you walk over there on those rocks. I'm actually surprised. Okay. Prahlad Maharaj said, O Supreme Lord, because you are so merciful to the fallen souls, I ask you for only one benediction. I know that my father, at the time of his death, had already been purified by your glance upon him. But because of his ignorance of your beautiful power and supremacy, he was unnecessarily angry at you, falsely thinking that you were the killer of his brother. Thus he directly blasphemed your lordship, the spiritual master of all living beings, and committed heavily sinful activities directed against me, your devotee. I wish that he be excused for these sinful activities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Prahlad, O most pure, O great saintly person, your father has been purified along with 21 forefathers in your family. Because you were born in this family, the entire dynasty has been purified. Those who follow your example will naturally become my pure devotees. You are the best example of my devotee, and others should follow in your footsteps. Sit upon the throne and do not be disturbed by materialistic activities. Please keep your mind fixed on me. Without transgressing the injunctions of the Vedas, as a matter of formality, you may perform your particular duties. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:10-11-23. So, means he'll sit there, do all the duties according to, though technically he doesn't need to, right? As a liberated living entity. But he will. This is a matter of course, because then others will follow that practice. Because if they are going to practice sadhana bhakti, they need to be able to follow the rules. At the same time as those who aren't practicing, by following the rules, at least it makes a pleasant atmosphere for those who are. Right? Meaning practicing in devotion. Right? Because even the materialists, if they follow the Vedic culture, then all facilities are there for the devotees. Right? And then it's easy if the devotees follow that, no one's going to complain. Right? Because nowadays you want to follow the Vedic culture, then many people have a complaint. You know, what about this? What about that? So many complaints. They make the running look like an occupation. So much effort required. Okay. Yes.
Prahlad Maharaj only asked for his father to be purified, he didn't ask for his liberation.
No, because that has to be individual. One, what's the point of liberation? The only benefit would be devotion, but he's inimical, so at least if there's no reaction, he's purified, then from that state, he might be able to take up devotional service. Right? But the liberated platform, what's he going to do there? Now, he already thought he was God. Now he float around the Brahman and think he's God. So, you know, not a whole lot of benefit. Of special note in this dialogue is the depth of Prahlad's forgiveness. Prahlad is willing to overlook the numerous attempts on his life, bearing no enemy towards his father whatsoever. Quote, as a Vaishnava's son, despite all the inconveniences imposed upon him by his father, he could not forget his father's affection. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:10, 15-17, purport. Right, so, in other words, the affection is the prominent element there, and so the other elements are just left. So even in relationships, if there's someone's there that affection's there, if one remembers that, then one can drop anything that doesn't go so well. Just as Krishna disregarded Putana's murderous deception and granted her residence in Vaikuntha, similarly, only Krishna's pure devotees can manifest this inconceivable mercy. Srila Prabhupada comments on that verse. Here is an example of the extreme mercy of the Lord, even to his enemy. It is said that a noble man accepts the good qualities of a person of doubtful character, just as one accepts nectar from a stock of poison. Lord Krishna accepted the motherhood of Putana because she pretended to be an affectionate mother, allowing Krishna to suck her breast. The Lord accepts the least qualification of the living entity and awards him the highest reward. That is the standard of his character. Therefore, who but the Lord can be the ultimate shelter? Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.23, purport. The answer is that the Lord's mercy is embodied in those who have taken shelter of the ultimate shelter. Ah. Never tire of hearing this verse. Kirata, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhira, Shumba, Yavana, members of the Kasha races, and even others addicted to sinful activities can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Apashraya, Ashraya, due to his being the supreme power, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. I kind of like the translation where it says, or lower. Rather than, and even others addicted to sinful acts. Forgiveness and mercy on the magnitude of Prahlad Maharaj is an undeniable symptom of having received the Lord's mercy. So that's why this whole pastime of Prahlad is exemplary for everybody. Right? He is the example of that surrendering and remembering and being dependent upon the Lord. He's that perfect example. Right? And because he's done it through that process of sadhana, then there's that aspect that we ourselves can relate and feel, yes, this is something that I could do. Right? Does that make sense? You know, my father tells me I have to be home by 10 o'clock on, you know, how you say, Friday night or Saturday night. So that's not as bad as him trying to have us trampled to death under, you know, elephants or tossing us over a cliff. So I could be forgiving and accommodating. You know. 10. Responding to your Lord's love, you agreed to assume your father's throne. And as you told Lord Nrisimhadeva in your prayers, by doing this you wish to help deliver all people. You are still on that royal seat, fixed in meditation on Lord Nrisimha. Right, because I mean 72 cycles of the Yuga cycle, so he'll be around for a while. So we don't have that. At this stage in Narad Muni's analysis of the signs of Krishna's mercy, it is evident that compassion takes precedence over position. Right, because before we had positions, right, social or universal positions. Now it's about compassion. That's the real.
Lakshmi was also a
It's not actually a position because she's just Krishna's internal energy. See, but what are we having here? Now, is Krishna's position as Narayan, is that his favorite position? Right? No. So then, naturally, just as much as that is dear to him, that's how Lakshmi will be dear to him. Right? Means as Narayan, then Lakshmi is very dear. But as the position of Krishna, since the position of being Narayan isn't that dear, therefore the position of Lakshmi there is not going to be as dear. Right? It's going to be about Krishna's interaction with his devotees. Right? Does that make sense? Well, it's just like this. Let us say, okay, the big man, he has to, you know, once a year go to this very formal program and dinner that he really doesn't like to be at, but it's very necessary for his position in society. So he and his wife, they dress up, they do the whole thing, and, you know, the interaction at the table, oh, isn't this lovely, dear? Oh, yes, this is so nice. And, oh, shall we meet over this? Oh, yes, you know. So they're doing all that, but is that the way they like to interact with each other? No, but they're doing it. So at that party, she's the one he likes the best. You know what I'm saying? But himself in that position and herself in that position is not what's the most dear to him. Right? So that's how Prahlad can be more dear than Lakshmi. You don't have to worry. I didn't catch the thread here. You're siding with.
Nope.
Okay. Okay. Of course not. Yes. It mentioned about the liberated. I don't know about going back to Godhead, but at least liberated. Where was that? What do you say about 21 generations?
Purified? Yeah, been purified along with 21 forefathers.
Yeah. Now I know it was liberation. Whether they go back to Godhead is another thing.
Probably
with
the defense is they develop relationship with the
devotee. Yeah, but that it's not. See, because when you're dealing in all these things, they get purified, they're benefited, and so now they have, because that benefit has come from being associated with the devotee, so there's going to be a jata sukriti. Right? So then naturally in that purified state, they can take up devotional service.
The next line says, those who follow your example will become.
Yes, those who follow his example. So they're purified, so if they follow his example, then they also will go back to Godhead. But as they're already on the liberated platform, so from the liberated platform, very easy to distinguish the difference between matter and spirit and take that up. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then, yeah. The quality Prahlad Maharaj manifests, which earns draws such unparalleled favor from the Lord. Oh, okay, I thought this was like a who's the guy? Kahlil or something? Kahlil. Huh? Yeah. He writes in that style.
Yeah.
Okay. Which earns draws such unparalleled favor from the Lord. Perhaps even more than the residents of Vaikuntha, is his own mercy upon the conditioned living beings. The fact that Prahlad refuses elevation to Vaikuntha and opts to remain in the material world demonstrates how well he understands the Lord's heart. Prahlad stayed because of his desire to relieve the people of the world from their distress. Right? That's why he came in the first place. He intended to use the vast wealth of his father's kingdom for preaching. If he could arrange for the deliverance of everyone in the universe, Prahlad calculated, that might satisfy the Lord, right? This implies that Prahlad cannot tolerate the misfortune of others. Does this indicate that Prahlad himself was suffering at the thought of others suffering? The inconceivable nature of spiritual suffering is described in detail in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the context of the devotee at the stage of Rati, hearing dramatic recitations about other devotees. Though previous devotees' sufferings appear in the heart of the present devotee as his own suffering, those sufferings also produce an astonishing taste of intense bliss. That is because when the devotee perceives the happiness of others, it gives rise to incomparable bliss in his heart. Right? So if they can appreciate the suffering they're going through, then they'll appreciate the bliss. Right? So they'll get, so both will be there. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 104-105, doesn't mention the section, the chapter.
2.5.
Okay. Because right after this is the... Yeah. Okay. Jiva Goswami explains in his commentary the Durgama Sangamani Tika. 2.5, 104, 105. Where's the footnote 8? Oh, it's right there. The two verses, 104 and 105, show another aspect of Rati's incomprehensibility. Footnote 8. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami uses the terms bhava and rati interchangeably. According to Sri Rupa, Prahlad Maharaj is endowed with a specific type of bhava called naishargiki, through mercy. Bhava arising from the devotee's mercy is explained in the seventh canto. Who could list the innumerable transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj? He had unflinching faith in Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, and unalloyed devotion to him. His rati to Lord Krishna, down here, was a naisargiki, through mercy. Although his good qualities cannot be enumerated, they prove that he was a great soul. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.4.36. Favor, or nisarga, was granted to by Narad. But you mean here the two meaning to Prahlad,
yeah,
by Narad. Yeah, I'm good with the star. You might want to adjust it because I think the contemporary literary standards are, how you say, less poetically. I say
licensed.
Yes. Yeah, licensed or appreciated. Yeah. And this created devotional impressions. This rati is called Naisargiki, through mercy, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.3, 21-22. Right. So this is the aspect where we're saying is then, you have all the aspects here. Now, he's a nitya siddha, but he came down to play the part of a sadhana siddha, but he attained perfection because of basically kripa siddha. Right. So you have all the aspects here. So,
package.
Yes, he's full. Yeah, he applauds the complete package here. Right? Yes.
I didn't find any evidence for it specifically, but it seems that after his meeting with Nrisingadev specifically, then it says that he's cleansed of further material contamination. So it seems that he's progressing from above through praying, you know, by his spiritual master and then the Lord directly.
Okay. So but he has the mercy of the spiritual. Yeah. Because of that, therefore the Lord is pleased.
Yeah.
Because he got it was granted by Narada, so when he was still in the womb, he was hearing all the instructions and everything there. So basically you could say that that's where he's... But the point is for someone to be able to take advantage of that from the womb, right? You know, you're talking about somebody very special. Yeah, and so then the aspect because he's liberated, then therefore on the Bhagavat platform, he's initiated. Because he's taking the instructions to heart. So right? Because you don't hear of a Pancharatrik initiation or a Vedic initiation of between Narad Muni and Sri Prahlad. So it's Bhagavat. So that means he's already liberated at that stage. Yes.
Narada Muni is in the same category?
Of?
Nitya as well as...
Yeah, because he's an Nitya, because he's always the Lord's associate, but he comes in and he plays that part of the sadhaka, like we see as the son of the maidservant. He played a sadhaka, and then from that, then he came to the position of Narada Muni.
So that's to demonstrate for our benefit.
Yes, like that. So when he talks about it, he only goes back that far. He doesn't go back farther. You know, so. You know, it's just like the acharyas. You just take it from where they start. You know, they're born in the family, then they do their sadhana, they get to meet the spiritual master, become serious about their devotions, and then in this way, you know, advance. They generally don't talk about what's before that. Forgiveness... we're down here. Okay. Then onto the next page. So this is continuing Jiva Goswami's?
Yes, correct.
Okay, commentary. Taking into account the lack of distinction of self and others, when suffering of others appears, the devotee takes that as his own suffering. But when happiness of others appears, the devotee, acknowledging that it is others' happiness, becomes intensely blissful because others are happy. Right, so they're just happy that they're happy. They're not trying to get in on that happiness. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference. The present verse explains how happiness arises from suffering. Those experiencing suffering will attain incomparable bliss after dissipation of the suffering, and the present devotee will consequently feel great bliss as well. When the devotee hears an incident from the mouth of the speaker in condensed form, such as the abduction of Sita, he will enter into the incident while listening to it. If the above statements were not true, it would also not be appropriate to say, Navina viparlambhena sambhoga pushtim ashnute. Without separation, the bliss of meeting cannot be nourished. Quoted in Ujjvala Nilamani, Viparlamba Prakarana 3-4. Originally from Bharat Muni's Natya Shastra. Vishwanath, okay, so, yeah, so it's because of that feeling of pain of the others, then when it works out, then how happy they are. So here the example is given of Sita being kidnapped by Ravana, then that whole thing, how she's feeling bad, everybody's feeling bad, the devotee feels that, actually experiences that, and then it's everything is found, it starts to work out, then that happiness comes. Right? So that's the point, is the separation nourishes the meeting. Therefore it's special. Now if there's no separation, what's the big deal about the meeting? Okay. Vishwanath.
Bharat Muni, he quotes that as a dramatic principle.
Yes. See, is that you have personalities like Bharat Muni, Jayadev Goswami, Sridhar Swami. There's these personalities that come along, they establish texts that everybody accepts. They're just so, you know, perfectly formed, that then the basis of these other acharyas, then they can all base it on that. So where these persons are from, who, you know, what they, all that's left is their work. Just like Jayadev, is that Bengal will say he's from here, because every year his birthday program is here in Bengal. So that's accepted, it's there. But two other states, I think Karnataka says he's from there. And I forget what other state claims that he's from their state. Right? You know, so it's just where they're from, nobody really understands. But they know the stories, the histories, and everything like that. And then from that, then you can quote, like Chanakya, you know, just just out of somewhere, then Chanakya is there. He writes all these literatures that are just, you know, that establish everything so clearly. Does that make sense? So Bharat Muni would be one such personality. That he writes the Shastra, Natya Shastra, so it's about drama. And therefore you have to have the definition of how emotions work so that the actors, knowing this science, can therefore rasa. Do this. Yes, and present the rasa. But that then is a very major basis of explaining Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because you have to have some Vedic literature to refer back to. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So like that. Or the Acharyas, they always refer back to Sridhar Swami. You know, so it's just part of the Lord arranges all these things. Okay. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur applies this understanding of suffering to the context of the living entities imprisoned in Maya. He starts by quoting the following Bhagavatam verse. Oh, so this is also a comment on the same nectar devotion verse?
Vishwanath
comment. Okay. So maybe you should, unless you're going to say that at the end. You say it at the end?
At the end. Yeah.
Okay. In that planet of Satyaloka, there is neither bereavement, nor old age, nor death. There is no pain of any kind. And therefore, there are no anxieties. Save that sometimes, due to consciousness, there is a feeling of compassion for those unaware of the process of devotional service and who are subjected to unsurpassable miseries in the material world. This one I don't quite get.
Yeah.
Mate real, or you'd use the French, so you just, you wouldn't mut. Huh?
Might.
Might
real.
Are you going to go with the Aussie? Okay. Unsurpassable miseries in the might real world. Oh, the real world, right? So unsurpassable miseries might in the real world. You just have to adjust it a little bit.
You know? World.
Yeah. This is the glorification of Satyaloka. There's no fear or suffering except for suffering from the heart, because there's a feeling of compassion for the endless suffering of samsara, of those who do not know about bhakti, right? Because on Satyaloka, these are all the, basically you say the residents there, means the permanent residents, they're all personified Vedas. So they know the Shastra. They either are representing Shastra, or they're so absorbed in the Shastra, they represent Shastra. Does that make sense? In other words, they are the Gita personified, or they know the Gita so well, and that's all they discuss, so in that way, they're a personified Veda. You know, just like a man with great knowledge is called a walking encyclopedia. Right? The same kind of principle. So they're, therefore, they are all personified Vedas.
One you could say is empowered or expansion, and the other one is absorbed in it. I remember a purport where Bhaktisiddhanta Sangharitakura made these two types of avesha avatars.
Okay.
Empowered and absorbed.
Okay.
What a distinction like that.
Okay, but when they're absorbed, then it's basically they're in that same mood. So then that same kind of potency is the end. Okay. But that display of suffering which arises in the hearts of the Shanta Bhaktas in Lord Brahma's assembly in Satyaloka, for those caught in samsara, also reveals deep bliss. Right? Okay, so they're Shanta Bhaktas, because they're just in the neutral stage of appreciation. Also, Prahlad, who mercifully wanted to remove the suffering of others, unconditionally grieved for the suffering of those in samsara and prayed to the Lord to relieve their suffering. My dear Nrisingadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Maunavrata. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to your shelter at your lotus feet. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.44. Prahlad Maharaj said, may there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. 5.18.9. Oh, Prahlad Maharaj comes up in the fifth canto.
It's the residence of Jambudvipa.
Okay, when they're going through all the different...
Yeah.
Okay. Yes?
We spoke 3 days ago about the sages, the sacred persons, who remember when they pray or give blessings in a general way, usually all those whom they remember they will be getting all the benefits.
Yes.
And here, Prabhupada Maharaj, he says it's in general. So it also should be considered in general.
Which is general?
We spoke about them.
No, but you're talking about Prabhupada Maharaj or these saintly persons?
Here I'm talking about Prabhupada Maharaj specifically.
Yes. Okay, so this is the difference between general and specific.
We spoke about, not in general, we spoke that sacred persons who give blessings in general, that may all those be liberated, and then we said only.
But it applies to those who they consider.
Yeah. So my question is, this applies to sacred?
Yes.
Only those that he considers collaborate.
Yes, but then, you know, if you're around for 72 yuga cycles, then there's a lot of people you can consider. Yeah, no. It's the same principle. That's what is mentioned. The Acharya mentioned before. It was in connection with Prahlad Maharaj. He said, "Let all the in the universe be benefited." So it's those that he will be considering and like that.
Is Prahlad thinking of us? In other words.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Now, okay. Yeah, but that was also given in relation to, the example is given in relation to Prahlad. So okay, so.
Those he could specifically conceive of.
Yes. No, but I'm saying if you complete the question, get down to the root, it makes it so much more. Means that's why it says anybody who follows him gets the same benefit. Because he's already given that benediction. So now if you follow, then you'll get the benefit. Right? And it works good for us because coming from the demoniac backgrounds, that we can relate. We're in the same kind of lines here. Yeah. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada really liked the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj.
Yes.
Because of this mood of his wanting to save all the entities, is that one of
the... Mood to save, not wanting anything. In other words, it's not even that of Daishkarmya, that I'm doing the work and then the results aren't from... The point is, he just wants to have that relationship with the Lord and please the Lord based on that relationship. That's the main thing. Right? Then, and then his compassion on all living entities. So you put all that together, and then, you know, how much better than that do you get? Right? Because you want nothing from the world, but you're not asking to get out of the world either. You're just asking that, you know, that somehow or another you can benefit all living entities. And the whole thing, the only thing you're interested in is that personal relationship with the Lord and helping everybody come back to that. Because that's why the Lord creates, has the material creation, is so that all the living entities can get an opportunity to take it up. So therefore someone like Prahlad is actually embodying the mood of the Lord in actually having the material creation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so therefore he's, you could say, the most exemplary in this way. So even all other devotees will take that there. because it's different. It's not that other devotees have any less mercy. It's just that the whole process as it unfolds here is just so special that it sets perfectly. Perfectly for this. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, you know, like Narottam Das Thakur, Lord Chaitanya left prema there at the Padma. So when he went down to bathe there, then he got that prema. So, but Prahlad Maharaj, how he's gone through all the trials and tribulations to get to that platform, right? Then that's going to be something special. We can learn that from him, right? And then his interaction with the Lord there, right? From Narottam Das Thakur, then, you know, his humility, his other aspects, his songs, like that. So then that you gaining that from him. So each devotee has their specialness, uniqueness of what is special and makes them dear to the Lord. So Prahlad Maharaj is this whole, you know, just always remembering the Lord, being connected to the Lord, and that compassion on all living entities despite all the trouble. You know, he could have says, okay, I'll stay here, I'll be king and try to be kind to everybody, but not this family. Come on, these guys tried to kill me. You know. But he didn't. You know, he's just asking that they be forgiven and Okay. As well as in the ninth canto, Ranti Dev is famous for his desire to deliver others from suffering. Therefore, the appearance of unhappiness in the hearts of these devotees is actually a form of the highest bliss, not a direct experience of suffering, because it is an established fact that the cause of material suffering is previous and present commission of sins. Where is the question of sin for these devotees? By remembrance of whom others become free of sin. Right? So they're not actually suffering the reaction there. It's that they're suffering thinking how the living entity has become so entangled and so estranged from, you know, Krishna's affection. I mean, yeah, the relationship is there. Right? And so that's what makes them feel how you say, suffering. Right? It's not from sin. The persons they're worried about, that's from previous and present commission of sins.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How can the devotee feel bliss?
Because he is worrying about this, is worrying that they'll become, how to become devotees. He's not worried simply that they're suffering and that suffering should go away. This is not like a humanitarian kind. It's a matter of they're suffering like this because of their sin, which is because of their forgetfulness of the Lord. So they're suffering, thinking, how can these individuals, or how can these persons, or even the general mass, or the universe, how can they again be able to take up Krishna consciousness and in that way give up that suffering? So there's a bigger principle. Right? Because the jiva is the Lord's natural servant. Right? And then here they are in the material world doing all kinds of things that puts them in such unfortunate situations. Mm-hmm. Right? And so then that's what they're suffering about. Right? It's not that, okay, here's a beggar and he's so poor. It's about how is it that Krishna's eternal servant has taken up such materialistic viewpoint and endeavors that now the living entity that should be naturally associated with the Lord in all glory doesn't have even, you know, a penny to their name, and identifies as that and thinks that they are this. Does that make sense? So that's what. So it appears from the outside that it's has a similar sentiment, but it's not. Therefore, because it's connected to the Lord, therefore there's also the same time that ecstasy. But its form takes on that of suffering.
And this ecstasy is helping the devotee to try to connect the non-devotee to Krishna.
It's their experience. And then naturally, then they'll work out trying to, you know, how best to improve the quality of the living entities. You know, does that make sense? Or do you mean that because they have that compassion, does that specific soul get some benefit?
Yes, the consequence when we see somebody disconnected from Krishna. So the devotee feel how to connect the non-devotee to Krishna.
I'm not sure I get it means where are you going?
Yes, if the devotee is feeling bliss, understanding why the non-devotee are suffering because not connected to Krishna, does it is natural to try to connect the non-devotee to Krishna?
Means why are they worried about it unless there's some consideration of benefit?
Yes.
No?
It's meant to give Krishna consciousness.
Yes. But the point is just their concern is going to give benefit to that living entity. Right, because they're worried about that living entity, so therefore Krishna becomes worried about that living entity. That's just there because of that. Then there's natural, why would they be considering like that unless there's some consideration of the preaching aspect? Okay, where is the question of sin for these devotees by remembrance of whom others become free from sin? Simply by our remembering you, our houses become instantly sanctified. And what to speak of seeing you, touching you, washing your holy feet, and offering you a seat in our home? Right, so if you're sitting in your house and you remember the devotee, your house becomes purified. So he's saying, what to speak of if the devotee actually comes to the house and you receive them and interact and serve. So it's when you remember, it's not just you become purified, then you know the whole environment becomes purified. That's how powerful the remembrance of the devotees are. Thus the devotee thinks, quote, whatever happens to me does not matter. Let me suffer eternally, but may my master be always happy with my service. End quote. And when the present devotee sees the happiness of others, it gives rise to incomparable bliss in his heart. Bhakti Sar Pradarshini Tika. So was that Jiva? That was Vishwanath. And Jiva Goswami's one is called? Oh yeah, Durga.
It means making comprehensively what is difficult to understand deeper.
Durgama.
Yeah. Durgama
Sambhava. Okay. And Bhakti Sar Pradarshini?
Means revealing the essence.
Oh, revealing the essence, okay. It is also interesting to note how Prahlad agreed to get married and become king of the materialists. After all, Prahlad earlier in the Bhagavatam decried household life as entangling, urging his own father to retire and take vanaprastha. Okay. That would have solved a few problems. O best of the asuras, king of the demons, as far as I've learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest, vana. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavana, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.5. Right? So he's recommended to Hiranyakashipu that he give up family life and retire to Vrindavan. That's pretty far out. Needless to say, he didn't take his son's advice. So. Yes. Right, so fall in a dark well where there's no water, only suffering, right? So in a well, what do you expect?
Water.
But in this well, there is no water. But everybody expects that there's water, so they always talk about water. Yeah. So that it's only in the spiritual world where then it's real, because then the household life is not about what you're gaining from household life. Is household life is a position to serve Krishna from. So that's what's recommended here. Don't be attached to the household life. Utilize it as a position to serve Krishna. Because that's what they do in the spiritual world. Like Mother just showed, it's not about household life. It's about serving Krishna. Right? All the other residents of Vrindavan, it's about serving Krishna. Right? But for himself, Prahlad did not worry that his involvement in politics would compromise his spiritual interests, since he was confident that his unbroken meditation on the personality of Godhead would always protect him. Footnote 9. This is similar to Brahma's instruction to King Priyavrata in the 5th canto. One who is situated in household life and who systematically conquers his mind and 5 senses is like a king in his fortress who conquers his powerful enemies. After one has been trained in household life and his lusty desires have decreased, he can move anywhere without danger. My dear Priyavrata, seek shelter inside the opening in the lotus feet of the Lord, whose navel is also like a lotus. Thus conquer the 6 sense organs, the mind and knowledge acquiring senses. Accept material enjoyment, because the Lord extraordinarily has ordered you to do this. You will thus always be liberated from material association and be able to carry out the Lord's orders in your constitutional position. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.1.18-19. And so if one's absorbed in the Lord, then one can do that, but one has to, that has to be one's endeavor.
Right?
So that means one is doing the duties, that means everything that comes along with the duties is there. Right, it's a comfortable situation, the pleasantness of the interactions, all the different things are there. But one's doing because that's the duties to perform, and that's the position from which now you can serve. You can serve, the family members can serve, you have facilities, so you can serve. Like that. Because otherwise, you have no facilities, then you go to the forest and then serve. Like that. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada cites Prahlad as a model Gostyanandi. Prahlad Maharaj, a pure Vaishnava, prays to the Lord not only for himself, but for all other suffering living entities. It's interesting how much is written on Prahlad Maharaj. Mm-hmm. Right? So it looks like you got the maximum amount of commentaries in that on Prahlad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's all over Bhajan.
Yeah, no, it's just saying Prabhupada talks about him, the other acharyas are talking, and so it's... There are 2 classes of Vaishnavas, the Bhajanandis and Gostyanandis. The Bhajanandis worship the Lord only for their own personal benefit, but the Gostyanandis try to elevate all others to Krishna consciousness so that they may be saved. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.41, purport. Srila Prabhupada further explains how Prahlad's compassionate attitude serves as the devotional standard for the whole Krishna consciousness movement. For a devotee, being situated in the heavenly planets and being in the hellish planets are equal. For a devotee lives neither in heaven nor in hell, but with Krishna in the spiritual world. Right? Wherever you are, like there's that discussion where Prabhupada's in Melbourne. He's saying that this is the spiritual world. It's not Melbourne, it's the spiritual world. So if it's connected to Krishna, you're remembering Krishna, you're in the spiritual world. So therefore, whatever the conditions are here, it doesn't matter, because you're always absorbed in Krishna. So whether it's a nice situation or not nice situation, one's absorbed in Krishna. The secret of success for the devotee is not understood by the karmis and jnanis. Karmis therefore try to be happy by material adjustment. And jnanis want to be happy by becoming one with the Supreme. The devotee has no such interest. He is not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest. Rather, his interest is in the busiest part of the world, where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement was started for this purpose. We do not teach one to meditate in a secluded place, just so that one may show that he has become very much advanced and may be proud of his so-called transcendental meditation. Although he engages in all sorts of foolish materialistic activity, right? Because he'll do all these nice little bits, and then after that he'll go and do all kinds of other stuff that's not so transcendental. A Vaishnav like Prahlad Maharaj is not interested in such a bluff of spiritual advancement. Rather, he is interested in enlightening people in Krishna consciousness, because that is the only way for them to become happy. Prahlad Maharaj states clearly, I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. End quote. One wanders within the universe life after life, but by the grace of a devotee, a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can get the clue of Krishna consciousness and then not only become happy in this world, but also return home back to Godhead. That is the real target in life. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest, where one will only make a show of meditation, nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. Rather, every member of the Krishna consciousness movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teaching of Bhagavad Gita as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of the Krishna conscious movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. Thus, the Krishna conscious person avoids all kinds of pseudo-spiritualists, transcendentalists, meditators, monists, philosophers, and philanthropists. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.44. Oh, that is funny. Yes. 11. You once went to the Naimisha forest to have darshan of Narayana, who is known as, quote, unquote, the Lord in yellow dress, unquote. While on the road, you satisfied the Lord in combat, and he told you, quote, yes, I am always conquered by you. Tvaya hanta sadajito smi, end quote. This is the first instance in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita where we learn of the bhakta's ability to conquer the Lord. This incident is recounted in a number of scriptures, including the Vamana Purana. Once Prahlad took a trip to Naimisharanya to see Lord Pitavasa, the beautiful form of the Supreme Lord. While traveling on the road, he met a strange person who was dressed like an austere renunciate but was carrying a warrior's bow and arrows. Prahlad assumed from this person's contradictory attire that he must be some hypocrite abusing the true principles of religion. Therefore, Prahlad started a fight with the sannyasi, vowing, I swear I shall defeat you. But even after several days of dueling, Prahlad could not subdue this adversary. Early one morning before resuming the battle, Prahlad worshipped his personal deity. He then saw his opponent standing nearby, wearing the same garland he had just offered the deity. Prahlad suddenly recognized that the stranger was Lord Pitavasa, Narayan himself. Thereupon, offering prayers to that opponent with all the competence at his command, Prahlad tried to satisfy him. In response, the Lord touched him with his lotus hand, which relieved Prahlad from the fatigue of fighting and all anxiety. Prahlad asked Lord Pitavasa what to do about having transgressed the duty of a Kshatriya by having made a promise, namely to defeat his opponent, and not having fulfilled it. The Lord, fully satisfied by the sporting of fight with Prahlad, told him, but I am always defeated by you. Yeah, so in other words, through devotion, he's defeated. 12. Sri Parikha continued. Having said this, Narada, the ocean of ecstasies and devotion to Lord Hari, began to dance. That intimate servant of the Lord shouted, conquered by us. The words jitam asmabhi, conquered by us, imply that Narad claimed victory not just for himself, and Prahlad, but for all the devotees of Lord Narayana. Krishna explains to Uddhava exactly what kind of service attracts him the most. My dear Uddhava, the unalloyed devotional service rendered by me, to me, by the unalloyed devotional service rendered to me by my devotees brings me under their control. Those engaged in mystic yoga, Shankya philosophy, pious work, Vedic study, austerity, or renunciation cannot thus control me. And so that's why it says devotional service is the main thing. Since you have to maintain yourself in the world, you perform your duties. But perform your duties in connection with the Lord. Right? Because that's the part that will please the Lord, not the duties themselves. It's doing the duties to please the Lord that pleases Him. It is explained that that's why one can be performing those pious duties or not, and still please the Lord. Therefore, it doesn't matter if you're renunciate living in the forest or a grihastha, that you're engaging your nature in the Lord's service. So then the Lord is pleased, because it's the devotion that pleases Him. It is explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that this ability to conquer Krishna is symptomatic of prema. Kleshagni Shubhada Moksha Laguta Krit Sudurlabha Sandrananda Visheshatma Shri Krishna Karshani Satchasa. The unique characteristics of bhakti are: 1. Its ability to destroy suffering. 2. Its bestowal of auspiciousness. 3. Its disregard for liberation. 4. Its rarity of attainment. 5. Its manifestation of concentrated bliss. And 6. Its ability to attract Krishna. So you were talking before that, you're saying these characteristics of bhakti. So this first, the ability to destroy suffering, its bestowal of auspiciousness is something you see with the what do you call it? Yeah, means that the devotee, the king, like that.
Well, that's more prominent for Indra and Shiva, but they're both valuing those qualities.
Yeah, but then with Shiva, then the disregard for liberation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then so you're kind of going up through these characteristics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Generous boy, the first two are for Savana, the second two are Bhava, the last two are Prema.
Second two are Bhava. Okay, disregard for liberation, rarity of attainment, and then manifestation of concentrated bliss and its ability to attract Krishna or Prema. Okay.
So that's what being brought out here. Explain back to Rasam Sena, the ability to conquer Krishna's symptomatic of Prema.
Okay, so then that position of the Prema of Prahlad Maharaj. So that hasn't been.
That's on the next page.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Bhakti is called Sri Krishna Karshani because it makes the Lord addicted to prema and brings him under the control along with his associates. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.141. Jiva Goswami explains in his commentary, the first two qualities belong to sadhana bhakti. The first four qualities belong to bhava bhakti. All six qualities belong to prema bhakti. And containing successively more qualities, they are like the four elements, such as air being included in the fifth element, earth. Durgama Sangamani Tika 1.144. Prahlad is the first personality in Brihad Bhagavatamrita to manifest all six of these qualities. This concept of conquest is not merely figurative, as the next example demonstrates. The Lord acts as a willing captive of Sutala Loka. Lord Vamanadeva is not free to come and go as he pleases. He must first obtain permission from Prahlad's grandson, Bali. Right? What we see is that Indra and Brahma then mentioned that he comes and goes as he pleases, right? You know, and with Indra more goes than, and with Brahma is that, you know, he's there for the sacrifice, he's kindly sitting there, and that, and as soon as it's over, he goes to his place and rests. But, so. Sri Nardan said, "O best of Vaishnavas, why should I say that Lord Mukunda has been conquered only by you? Your grandson, Bali, chief of the Daityas, has also conquered him. By your grace, Bali keeps the Lord as his doorman." Bali conquered the Lord in the sense of gaining control over him, by which Lord Vamanadeva now serves always as Bali's doorkeeper. Since Bali was the leader of the Daityas, the enemies of Lord Vishnu's devotees, he could have obtained this influence only by the Lord's special favor. Sri Prahlad himself explained this while offering prayers to Lord Vamanadeva. So it's not by some material aspect, because Krishna is not controlled by anything material. He's in control of material. So this means it's simply by devotion that he's controlled. Because the others is that the Manvantara avatar is always with Indra, but he's there just to protect the post. It's not specifically about the relationship. And Brahma, there's also that element of the post. But here we see it's not about post. Because it's not a specific thing that Vamanadeva has to stay there with Bali Maharaj, let alone be his doorman. So there it's just due to affection, having been conquered by affection. Sri Prahlad himself explained this while offering prayers to Lord Vamana. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are universally worshipped. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva worship your lotus feet. Yet, although you are such a great personality, you have kindly promised to protect us, the demons. I think that such kindness has never been achieved even by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. What to speak of other demigods or common people? Srimad Bhagavatam 8.23.6. The Prahlad Samhita of the Skanda Purana, in the chapters describing the glories of Dwarka Dham, also relates the following history. When Dwarka City was once attacked by 10 powerful daityas, a committee of residents headed by Durvasa Muni went in great distress to the abode of Bali Daitya Raj. There, the sage Durvasa beseeched Lord Vamanadeva to come to Dwarka to defend them, but the Lord replied, "O best of Brahmanas, I am not independent. Because I am purchased by pure devotion and by that alone, I am now the order carrier of Bali. I am completely controlled by the king of the Daityas. So, my dear excellent Brahmana, please go ask the demon Bali, son of Virochana, and if he orders, I shall at once do whatever you want." Skanda Puran, Prabhaskanda 4.19.2-3. Right? So the acharyas can go through and get the essential points even from all these various Puranas.
I was just wondering, if they're staying in Dwarka, was Krishna not present at the time? Why did they have to go to Sitala?
Must be.
Yeah.
Must be.
Yeah.
Who knows? But when Durvasa, because you also see is that when Sudarshan comes to, Durvasa comes to Lord Vishnu, being chased by Sudarshana, right? So then it's the same point. It's about the, you know, you've offended the devotee, and so therefore if the devotee forgives you, then he forgives you, because his affection follows the devotee's. So, but when Durvasa submitted his request to Bali Maharaj, Bali refused to give permission for Lord Vamanadeva to leave Sutala Loka, even after Durvasa's expressed the intention to fast until death. Bali told him, "Let whatever you intend come about. Whatever you have in mind, please do that. But I shall never give up the 2 feet at which Brahma, Rudra, and all other demigods bow down." Skanda Purana 7.4.19.16. Oh, that's big. That's big to have four numbers. What was the other one?
Seven is Prabhat Kanda, I think.
Oh, I see. Well, that probably gives a number. So it's a difference on whether you count that or... You know, just like we see Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, Adi Leela, then chapter this, that, but some will do Adi Leela, they'll put one.
Yeah.
You know, so they'll say one, you know, 527. But we'll say Adi Leela, 527.
Yeah.
So it's probably, that's...
Yeah.
The previous quote was Prabhupada 419.
Yeah, because it only has three. So then this has four, so it's probably those all have sections.
Prabhupada is the seventh chapter.
Is the seventh chapter, okay. In this connection is explained in the fifth canto, Muktim Dadati Karhichit Smana Bhaktim Yogam. Those engaged in getting the Lord's favor obtain liberation from the Lord very easily, but he does not very easily give the opportunity to render direct service unto him. Right? So, getting the Lord's favor, where is this from? Bhagavatam 5.6.18.
Yeah. That's actually when Narada Muni is talking to Yudhishthira, I believe.
Narada to Yudhishthira.
Yeah. He's glorifying the Pandavas.
He's glorifying the Pandavas. Srila Prabhupada remarks, the purport to this verse is that the Lord easily offers liberation, but he rarely agrees to offer a soul devotional service, because by devotional service the Lord himself becomes purchased by the devotee. Nectar Devotion, Chapter 1. So, therefore you see how fixed Prahlad Maharaj was, because he, through the rendering of his devotional service, then he attracted the Lord's attention. But he asked simply for that position to render service to him. Because otherwise, material benefits, liberation, those the Lord will easily give. You've done devotion, he's pleased, you get that. He gives some boon. But to give that you actually have devotional service, right? Does that make sense? That we're making a distinction here between devotional service meaning sadhana bhakti and devotional service meaning prema bhakti. Because that prema bhakti, he becomes purchased. So that's why Krishna is more careful. It means if you'll take less, then what's the meaning? Because on the platform of prema, you wouldn't want to take less. So Prahlad showing that is that why you would want something else when one can have that position of serving in affection.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's also interesting that this same Vamanadeva is Indra's brother, and he comes and goes from Swargaloka, but the same Vamanadeva is conquered by Prahlad.
Yes, because of devotion.
Yeah.
So then you see is that this is that's the difference that's being shown, is because of that. In other words, Indra's doing his duties to please the Lord, but he specifically likes those duties.
Yeah.
Right? So therefore that aspect is there. It's not as pleasing as Balimar surrendered everything to the Lord. So therefore the Lord is there. It's his doorkeeper. And out of affection he's not letting him go. Right? You know, because the point is what actual calamity is there other than, you know, forgetting the Lord or not being able to render service to the Lord? Nothing else is really a calamity. Right? So therefore he's saying, you know, he'll keep him here. He's not going. You can go do what you want. You want to fast to death? Sure, go for it. But Vamanadeva's staying here. And from what we see is Durvasa didn't fast to death, so therefore... Because when you see, is you know, you're using, because you have that determination, but when you see the other person has that much determination or more, then you figure, okay, well, that will be pretty useless, so then, you know, then you think of something else to do. Yeah. And this connection is explained in the fifth canto. Muktim Dadati Karhichit Smana Bhakti Yogam. Quote, those engaged in getting the Lord's favor obtain liberation from the Lord very easily. Oh, we just read all that. Okay, 14. From now on, I intend to stay here permanently with you. By your power, I shall certainly be able to overcome the curses I receive from Daksha and others, right? Because he has curses that he can't stay in one place. But he's thinking that it's so nice, this is the greatest fortune to be able to stay with Prahlad Maharaj. I'm going to stay here, and by that association, because he's so powerful, then he'll be able to overcome these curses by, you know, these other personalities. Not only Daksha, but others have also cursed Narad Muni to be unable to stay in one place for more than a short time. Daksha cursed him as follows. You have made me lose my sons once, and now you have again done the same inauspicious thing. Right? Even though it was very auspicious, they all became devotees. Therefore, you are a rascal who does not know how to behave towards others. Right? He knows how to behave towards the soul, not towards materialism. Right? You may travel all over the universe, but I curse you to have no residence anywhere. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.5.43. But because he was trying to get it where his sons would take up household life and then have their residence, but because he made them where they didn't, right? Then he curses Narada that that will be his situation. In the allegorical story of King Paranjana, old age, the daughter of time, also curses Narada. Because you refused my request to marry me, you will not be able to stay in one place for a long time. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.27.22.
Old age doesn't have so much luck.
No. Yeah. Prahlad refutes Nara's praise, 15-39. Sri Parikit said, unable to tolerate hearing his own praise, Prahlad lowered his face in embarrassment, bowed down before Narada, and respectfully addressed him in a quiet voice. Prahlad was ashamed to hear himself praised, began to think that by speaking such impossible things, Narada must be teasing him. Still, he spoke gently because he had great respect for Narada, his Diksha Guru. Had Prahlad not been addressing such a revered person, Prahlad might have expressed anger by replying in a louder voice. 16. Sri Prahlad said, my Lord and spiritual master, please reconsider everything you have said. A young boy simply cannot understand correctly the science of devotional service to Krishna. Proper execution of devotional service requires mature understanding. Since bhakti yoga is not only an external practice, but the natural employment of all the faculties of the self. As a general rule, young children before the awakening of intelligent discrimination cannot have the understanding required to engage in devotional service. There may be individual exceptions in the highly cultured families of sages and saintly devotees, but Prahlad, considering himself an uncivilized demon, would hardly claim to be such an exception. He's just saying he's just a child, so what does he know? 17-18. Still, when one receives instructions from great souls, those instructions have the power to awaken one's higher understanding, and then one can engage in devotional service to Lord Hari. Therefore, it is not a sign of greatness that ordinary persons like me can persevere despite terrible disturbances, give spiritual enlightenment to children, behave like saintly persons, show compassion to suffering souls, or refuse the boon of liberation. Right? So in other words, hearing from great souls, then that instructions, they have the power to awaken one's understanding. Right? So just the instruction itself, that has that power, because it's carrying, it's the chit potency, so it's carrying that. So he's saying, so there's no, it's no sign of greatness that because I've heard these instructions from the great personality, here Narad Muni, that therefore I've been able to, you know, persevere the terrible disturbances, give spiritual enlightenment to children, behave like saintly persons, show compassion to suffering souls, or refuse the boon. That's the greatness of the instructions that he received. So he's saying it's not my glories, that's received. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, there is the glory of what he's talking about. Right? Because we have to always understand is that all these things that are being said are true. That's what makes it difficult to understand, because what Narad Muni says is all true. And what Prahlad Maharaj is saying is all true. Right? It's just they're taking different perspectives in different situations, so that one comes out, you know, does that make sense? Yeah. Prahlad has personal experience of the incalculable benefits of associating even briefly with a pure devotee of the Lord. Thus he ascribes all his spiritual assets to the mercy of Narada, who blessed him with transcendental knowledge and guided him on the proper path of devotional service. Prahlad argues here, however, that the above-mentioned items are not always signs of a person engaged in devotional service. What to speak of someone advanced in devotion? Thus, Prahlad means to refute Narada's statement in text 4 about Prahlad's having been a great devotee of the Lord since his early childhood. In analyzing Prahlad's words, we have to consider that he denies only some of Narada's claims about his greatness. Others he simply shows in a different light. Right? Whatever works, because the point is that something's been said, use whatever technique it takes to deal with that. Because their mood is, I'm not great. So whatever works. Prahlad argues that as a child he could not have possessed pure devotion, because a child does not have the strength to understand things or act properly. Right? Even though we see as by his power other children became Krishna conscious. Right? Prahlad admits that he was able to withstand the torments imposed by Hiranyakashipu, but he could withstand them only because of the protection afforded to all the devotees by the internal potency of the Lord. Yes, some daityas became Vaishnavas due to Prahlad's preachings, but he was deputized to preach to them only because truly great souls are not supposed to instruct immature children. In any case, talk is cheap, or, as the traditional saying goes, Paropadeshe Panditiyam Sarvesham Su Karam Nrinam. It is easy enough for anyone to make himself sound like an expert when advising others. Right? Yeah. Yeah, somehow everybody's the expert when they're giving advice. Yes, Nia. In this verse, Prahlad does not even mention Narada's depicting him as fully absorbed in meditation on Krishna, text 6. The comment would be too embarrassing to acknowledge openly. He does, however, admit to dancing and singing in ecstasy, but even practicing neophytes often show these outward symptoms. Beginners in sadhana bhakti should dance and sing as a matter of duty. In other words, each item Narada offers as a sign of Prahlad's greatness is simply a natural effect of pure devotional service. Pure devotional service becomes manifest only when one's intellect has become mature, and that occurs only when one has received instruction from great saints who causelessly bestow their mercy. So Prahlad argues that the way he behaved is no reason to credit him with laudable spiritual qualities. Lord Nrisimha and Sri Narada deserve all the credit. Because right? Otherwise he's doing these things, but it's by their instruction and by their mercy. Right? Because otherwise it's all devotees as sadhakas are supposed to, you know, make an attempt at these things. And so if he's getting some effect from this, this is simply because of the mercy of the Lord and his devotee, Narad Muni. So he's not taking any credit here. Merely, let's see. Yeah. Merely by these symptoms, the best of saints do not conclude that Krishna has given a person his mercy. Krishna's mercy, blessed Narada, appears only in a truly worthy servant. The most advanced saints are pure Vaishnavas who understand the power of devotional service to Sri Krishna's lotus feet. I could not have received Krishna's mercy, Prahlad says, because he gives that only to a devotee who deserves it. You, Narada, are blessed by the Lord's internal potency. You have received his mercy, so you know very well that only a proper candidate can attain it. The Lord's mercy is infinite, beyond the limits of time and space. But in this material world, it becomes visible only at certain times and certain suitable devotees. Right? The Lord's mercy is unlimited, but then you just see it now and again with certain devotees as it becomes manifest. So, someone like Narad Muni, now he's qualified. Now Prahlad's just, you know, putting his... He's just making light of whatever it is his glories. will end here.